Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and it is 5 p.m. Eastern on the 20th of May, 2020. We're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case today. And there's an interesting passage in the beginning of the book, The Might of Thoughts, which is called Macht der Gedanken in the German, which talks about how the human being is the forger of his own fortune, the creator of his own good luck. And let me read a little bit of this to you today. However, thoughts must be neither purely negative or purely positive, but equalized, indeed neutral positive equalized. That means the thoughts are certainly maintained in a positive form, but that negative inclusions must also be allowed in them, which are processed together with the positive in a neutral equalized form. So if you tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck, but I know that life faces and sends some difficult challenges at me that I must deal with. So that's called a negative inclusion, and that gives you the neutral positive balance. Now, we are the forger of our own fortune. We create our own good luck. And we do that by the neutral positive thoughts. Because the neutral positive thoughts bring the neutral positive results in your life. If you're thinking in a negative way, then you're going to bring in a negative result. If you're thinking in a way positive way, in a too positive way, then you also bring in a negative result. There's like this sweet spot in your thinking. Let me read another passage here. It says, but the fundamental zeal of the words is that all human beings are encouraged through them to find the truth and be cognizant of it, so that they will begin to live according to the old saying, which says, the human being is the forger of his or her own fortune. The human being is the forger of his or her own fortune. And in the form that the human being forms his or her own luck by means of his or her own thoughts. So the life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. So you got to strengthen those positive, those neutral positive thoughts. Remember, we're always leave room for a negative inclusion, but don't allow that negative inclusion to spin you out of control. Now, what does it mean to have might, power, and energy? And this comes from the book called The Psyche that Billy has written. Power is that which triggers, releases energy. Energy releases power. Might is a factor that is ruling, dominating, controlling. Something that is above that which is normal. Might uses power and is or stands above power. The human being has might over himself or not. And the mightiest that exists is creations. So it's the might of your thoughts that cause them to manifest. And we can have negative or positive circumstances develop because of our thoughts. So mightful thoughts are the kind that manifest. You can have mightful negative thoughts and manifest mightful negative things in your life. You know, there's a passage that I've studied before in this book. It's called something like, when tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts, which triggers emotions that can lead to murder or manslaughter. And there is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts, for only irrationality lives there in highly emotional forms. So if you have an idea, which is spelled I-D-E-A, and it isn't complete all the way yet, you're still thinking through it, but you have a strong feeling that it's the right way to go, you will find yourself becoming emotional about that idea. And it may have something to do with your interaction with other people. But when tangled ideas, I-D-E-A-S, that's what they are. They're not completely thought through. Now, you may have thought about them for a while already, this idea. And you may be trying, and one of the worst things you can do ever is try to convince somebody of something. But sometimes that happens in our life. We have to watch that. And then analyze your own thinking. And if you're starting to get triggered by something, it's probably because your own thought, your own idea, I-D-E-A, is not yet an I-D-E-A-L, which is a complete thought, which is completely thought through, because you'll be more neutral positive about your thoughts that are completely thought through. And that which the human being mightfully thinks manifests for him or her. And the German word for might is Macht, which means might, force, power, clout, authority, strength, potency. So might can be defined as power, energy, intensity. So it's the might of our thoughts that matters. But exactly this might is of enormous significance. Indeed, it is that which is most important of all pertaining to the thoughts. Because only through the might do thoughts come to fruition. Another bad thing about mindful thoughts is that you can focus them on terrible events or catastrophes. You may have to not focus on something negative. There's a big event that's going on in history, in the world. It's sometimes good just to step back from it for a while, so you're not thinking about how bad something is all the time. And this is Contact Report 476, line 117. It says, but something should probably be also said about the fact that the human beings of Earth bring about many terrible things and catastrophes themselves, not only in regard to the warming of the climate, rather also by collectively directing their thought powers and unconscious powers so mightfully at terrible things and catastrophes and so forth. So the law of the universe is the law of cause and effect. The law of universal creation says that every thought that is enlivened by might and power must, as a cause, also bring a certain effect. Now, there's a scientist now who's learned about this, and he is starting to investigate ways to reprogram the subconscious mind. Because, and that's Dr. Bruce Lipton, and he says, our mind is creating our life. We have something called the subconscious mind, which is very much a stimulus and response mind. We can create from our awareness. We have a creative mind, which has wishes and desires, which allow us to project into the future. The creative mind is the source of our aspirations. The subconscious mind consists of habits that we play back like a program. The subconscious mind is very habitual. We have to deal with the programs that are in our subconscious mind. The conscious mind can think, and when we start to think, that is when the subconscious mind kicks in. So what's happening, only about 5% of the time are we working towards our own wishes and desires. So the subconscious mind is playing this program all the time, and usually it's negative. So that's why I always suggest people memorize some very positive things to play back those positive things when you need them, so that you can set your consciousness into a neutral positive state. Because otherwise, these subconscious programs, like fear and worry and anxiety, one of the things that I've recently learned, I think that's so important, is that what it says, and I'll quote it to you if I can here, it says, therefore, in every regard, the human must trust himself and in his or her might and power. So you must trust yourself in every regard. That means in every way possible. Trust yourself. You must trust yourself. So, and this is important because the subconscious mental programs are repeating the negative programming that we get from the world. We're getting a lot of negative programming right now about this coronavirus, when I really don't think it's that powerful at all. I think the coronavirus, for 80% of the people, or 90% of the people, probably 95% of the people, will not be that big of a deal. Now, there are people that have compromised immune systems, and they will be affected very profoundly by this. One of the things I wanted to also mention now is that much of what we're seeing on TV right now is so filled with false information. So in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, is where the work started for this COVID-19. And eventually, the gain-of-function research was terminated during the Obama administration, which is one good thing that he did. I have to give him credit for that. That's a good thing. But Dr. Fauci, who's on TV all the time, is the guy that moved the research to China. He is the person that started this whole COVID-19 thing. So the Chinese continued in Wuhan to develop this gain-of-function thing. And then it got loose, it got out of control, it was released on purpose, who knows. But it's out now, and it is creating a problem that the New World Order wants to sell you a solution for, a vaccine. The vaccines are very dangerous, they're very unhealthy. They have human fetal tissue in them. They have thimerosal, which is a form of mercury. They have formaldehyde, which is a poison, which is an immunosuppressant, which is another weird thing. The vaccines can cause things like Guillain-Barré disease, which a lawyer here, or close to where I live, that my wife used to work for, after a flu shot, he got Guillain-Barré's disease. And he was in a wheelchair for quite some time, eventually used a cane. But this is a very difficult time right now. And you have to not allow the negative programs to play that much. In other words, when a negative program starts playing in your mind, whether it's about the coronavirus or whatever, do not allow it to go into the vicious cycle. So, let me read this from page 26 of The Mind of Thoughts. Thus it happens that whoever, as a result of some sort of adverse circumstances, has negative thoughts, soon allows himself or herself to be controlled by these, whereby the consciousness is negatively burdened and correspondingly also creates the same kind of thought, which allow their might to prevail and influence the psyche in a negative and damaging way. So once you start thinking negative thoughts, it's very hard to stop. You just continue, you continue, and you continue. And then the negative feelings come out. And the negative feelings, I think, are what damages the psyche. So let me go quickly through the steps of the vicious cycle. You have a negative thought. You become controlled by your negative thought. The consciousness becomes negatively burdened. You like almost like feeling a weight when you start having negative thoughts. More negative thoughts are created. The might of the negative thoughts prevail. The psyche is influenced in a negative and damaging way. The psyche then creates negative feelings. So always look for the feeling. The feeling is your clue. Oh, wait, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling depressed. I must have had a negative thought. So then pull into your, out of your memory, a set of things that you've memorized from this book. Like, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. You don't have to memorize them always word for word. I try to shoot for that, but tell yourself, or things like, the life always forms according to the thoughts that are chosen, tended, and nurtured. The might of the thoughts prevail. So you might as well make them good, neutral, positive thoughts, because they're going to prevail. So you can also bring in a wish dream as a good way to calm your psyche and restore yourself to a normal state of mind. Think about a fun time you had with your cat or your dog, or a time where you went outside and it's very beautiful in your yard, anything that's neutral, a time when you were raking leaves in your yard. So anyway, these negative thoughts, though, can occur over and over again. So you need to put a lid on those to stop them. It's not easy. They have a real power behind them sometimes. So remember, if you have a hard time stopping your negative thoughts, you can do the same thing with your neutral positive thoughts. They can create a momentum. So, okay, let's look at every human being has a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The psyche regulates and looks after the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness. You also have something in the material consciousness called the feeling. It's the part of the psyche that creates the feeling and conveys it to the consciousness. Remember, I told you, if you're having a negative thought, The clue comes from the feeling, because you have this negative feeling. All of a sudden, you know, you're talking or you're thinking. You might be having a discussion with somebody, and all of a sudden you feel tense or you feel uncomfortable or feel a little frustrated. One of those thoughts that you had during that course of a conversation was a negative thought, because the feelings grow out of the thoughts. So you had this negative thought, and then the feeling came. And it's the Gefühl, or the feeling as it's called, that creates the feeling and conveys it to your consciousness. We have something called the sense in our material consciousness as well. And it's, you think of it as a blocker factor within the psyche. And it takes these perceptions and puts them in kind of a feeling outburst, which you could call them feeling swinging waves. So the sense generates these swinging feeling waves, a swinging wave. So your thoughts from your material consciousness generate something into the environment around you. And if you put out confidence and optimism and you're relaxed and cheerful, then that helps people around you. But these swinging waves sometimes can be negative, and they can be like feeling outbursts. So you can kind of pollute your own environment. So you have to be careful. Now, so remember, the human being has a material consciousness. Your material consciousness is who you are now in this lifetime. 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form, the Geist form, comes into the body of the child, which is at this point 21 days, I believe it is, 21 days. The spirit form comes out of the spirit realm, as it's called, which is like an energy band around the planet. So 21 days after the sperm and the ovum, the egg, you know, start to divide, out of the spirit realm comes the Geist form. And you can think of it as a fragment of the universal consciousness. And a Telstock, it's called in the German. And it centers itself in what's called the superior colliculus, which is a part of your middle brain that deals with your sight and your feelings and your thoughts. And it's really a guest. The spirit form comes into your body as it's a guest house. So it is not going to stay in there forever. The spirit form never dies. And the spirit form is your spiritual consciousness. And the spiritual consciousness is kind of a contrast to the material consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are in this lifetime. It's the aspect of you that's temporary, in a sense. The material consciousness also consists of what's called your inner nature or your ego, which is at times hysterical. It's also threatened by your spiritual consciousness, because the spirit consciousness it's threatened because of the evolution of your spirit consciousness. See, the material consciousness, in a sense, is temporary. And you build it up over your current lifetime. And when you die, this material consciousness leaves the body with the spirit form. Now, spirit form is the driving energy behind everything. So the you can think of almost the material consciousness after death as kind of raw data, because your body's died. And the spirit form takes that raw data into the spirit realm and it starts to process it. And it converts that raw data into things like evolutive values, like love and wisdom, and your ability to analyze problems, and your the might of your thoughts, and your optimism, and your confidence, and your sense of fairness and love, and all these things, your sense of duty, your ability to think in a logical way. So these are your evolutive values. And in the realm of the spirit realm, those are being stored and programmed into your subconscious. And your spiritual consciousness, your spirit form, is storing those. And again, it's a fragment, a tell stock of the universe, the universal consciousness. It never dies. So there is a part of you that never dies. But on the other hand, the material consciousness is a temporary thing. So what happens is you have life in the material, with the material consciousness. The spirit form comes in, but it's bilocated somehow. It's also in the spirit realm, in a sense, at the same time. Don't ask me how. And it says sends quiet impulses of wisdom. So your spiritual consciousness is sending these quiet impulses of wisdom to the material consciousness. These come in really handy at all times in your life, but especially as a child, because material consciousness doesn't have much information there. So if it will listen and follow the quiet impulses of wisdom that come from the spiritual consciousness, it can have a good, strong advantage. So try to think about that. Try to think about these impulses of wisdom that come from the spiritual consciousness. Anyway, the psyche controls and looks after, regulates the material consciousness, the gamut, regulates and looks after the thoughts and feelings of the spiritual consciousness. So we have these two aspects of ourselves. The innermost creational self, in many ways, is analogous to your spiritual consciousness, and it sends these impulses of wisdom. So if your psyche, if your material consciousness is caught up in the vicious cycle of negative thoughts, and your consciousness is becoming negatively burdened, the spiritual consciousness may send you quiet impulses of wisdom. And listen to those. They will help you establish the wish dream in the material consciousness to calm the psyche and restore yourself to a normal state of mind. Another thing you can do, as I said before, is repeat some of the Meyer material. One thing that's really helpful to repeat too is the passages that deal with creation, particularly the love of creation. The love of creation is the highest. It's the highest. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So love is this very top, highest idea, concept. It's not an emotional love. It's the love you have for your fellow person, for animals, plants. It's effective love. Love is the highest principle in the universe. And exists in absolute logic. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists and absolute logic. So we're about out of time. I'll see you later. Have a good day.